الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتداع ولا لأزلية الانتظار وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه ولا أرض أرضاه. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أرضى الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبهدوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. All the praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings that He provided and for all the tests that He put us through, and His special peace on all the prophets of God, starting from Prophet Adam and Prophet Noah, Prophet Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and the seed of all the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
All of those who were sent with the same agenda, that is Islam, and to invite the people towards submission to God, and invite the people towards the truth and the concept of oneness of God. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with the glorious divine teachings through His prophets and His books, which we respect all of those prophets and all of the books, specifically the final book, which is the Holy Quran. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for informing us with everything that benefits our spirituality, because human being is a component of a soul and a body. We cannot just do whatever we wish to do according to the likeness of our body. We cannot just look at everything that we like to see with our eyes. We have to first take care of what would be the impact on our soul. We cannot just eat whatever we crave for, just like animals and beasts. Because we are human beings, we have to take care first what impact that food is going to have on our soul. We cannot do whatever we like to do with our hands and feet. because we have to first take care of what impacts it will provide to our soul. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with this religion, which is soul-centered and soul-oriented, and a religion which gives prime importance to the human spirituality. If we take care of this soul and give preference to everything that benefits our spirituality, we will be superior to the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah created with His divine nur and light, without providing anything that can lead them towards lusts and desires. And if we do not take care of our spirituality, it will make us worse than the animals, because the animals simply cannot think what they are supposed to do towards their creator and cannot worship the creator. All they can think and focus on is their reproduction and filling up their stomach. So if we also focus on these two things, neglecting our spirituality, we will be worse than the animals because of neglecting our intellect and spirituality. The hadith and tradition of the Holy Prophet that we have been discussing since the last several Thursdays, where the Holy Prophet has said that مَنْ أَخْلَصَ لِلَّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا جَرَى يَنَابِعُ الْحِكْمَةِ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. Whosoever exercises sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 mornings, the fountains of wisdom burst from his soul and flow over his tongue. And our discussion ended on the last Thursday on the fact, I actually promise you that I will mention 25 points that have been mentioned by one of our great scholars in Maraji, Ayatullah al-Ummah, Sayyid Mahdi, Tabarakallahi, Bahrul Qulub, Rahmatullahi Alayh, which he has mentioned in his book, 25 Practical Tips and Action Points for Everybody Who is Serious About Protecting and Taking Care of His Spirituality. The first point, which is mentioned by Ayatullah al-Ulma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum, is Al-Muhafadatu ala Salawat al-Khams. That means taking care of the 5-time prayers daily. And when we say taking care of our prayers, that we pray towards Allah, our Creator, it means that praying in the beginning time and the fazilat time, the time of the superiority of reward, not just praying late and delayed, which does not provide any nuraniyat and and divine light to our qalb and soul. And let's remember the basic fact, it's not a matter of surprise that this great scholar of our history, when he's talking about the practical tips, he starts with the prayers. Almost every arif mujtahid in our history has written one or several books on the subject of prayers, adab of the prayers, and sunan of the prayers, ahkam of the prayers, and you know, and asrar of the prayers, and hikam and wisdoms of the prayers, and secrets of the prayers. So much has been said and told about the subject. This is the subject which is of the prime importance. No one can reach any spiritual level without taking care of his prayers. That's the way we actually talk with our Creator. munajat. When Prophet said, Al-Musalli yunaji Rabbahu. Person who is praying, he is doing a close whisper with his Lord. So we are talking, and Allah has taught us what to say when we talk, you know, when we are standing in front of any big personality in this life of this world, we think twice before we speak. We have calculated words so that we say exactly and precisely what we were supposed to say. So what if a person is standing in front of his Creator and he must learn the etiquettes, what to say and how to say and what not to say. And that's exactly what the Prophets have told us. And prayers is one of those rulings, one of those mainstream rulings of Islam that had been practiced and promoted by every Prophet of God and every messenger of Allah without exception. Look at what Jesus Christ says when he was born and the children of Israel came to Virgin Mary, and Prophet Jesus was just a newborn baby lying in the cradle, and the children of Israel objected on Virgin Mary and actually some were trying to slander her, which she deserves a great level of respect in Islam, and we can never slander her. We oppose those who slander such a great lady of Islam. So when children of Israel came and objected upon her, we find that Quran is informing us that asharat ilayhi, she indicated towards the child, the baby, her baby, Prophet Jesus, who's lying in the cradle. And the children of Israel said, كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا. How can we talk to a one who is in the cradle, a baby in the cradle? How can we talk to a baby in the cradle? And that's where the Quran says that the child, the baby, that means Prophet Jesus himself, started to speak. And قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. He said that I am the servant of Allah. آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا. Allah gave me the book. He's talking about the real Bible. وجعلني نبيا. And He made me a prophet. وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة. That's where the point where I wanted to bring you. وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا. And Allah advised me about prayers and charity. Zakat, the Islamic taxes, as long as I'm alive. So Prophet Jesus is talking in the cradle when he's a newborn baby that Allah has advised me to pray. Advised me about the prayers. The prayers is something, like I said, has been the mainstream teaching of Islam, common value of all the prophets, promoted by every prophet. Yeah, it fainted away, it died away because of the people not following the footsteps of Prophet Jesus and other, and Prophet Moses and Abraham and other prophets of God because of the pleasures of this dunya. But prayers is something which is of prime importance given by every messenger. And also Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tawakabari Bahrul Ulum says that the Sunan and Adab, that means the recommended teachings of prayers, should be taken care of, and the adab and etiquette. So I already explained in the Salat workshop for those of you who were there, and I told you the difference between the ahkam of the rulings in the Sharia, and then we have the adab, which means the sifat and attributes of a person, the spiritual attributes that need to be available in the soul of a person to make certain that his prayers are accepted by the Creator, by our Lord. So those are the adab, and then we have the hikam, the wisdoms, which is the ghayat, al-ghayatul mutarattiba ala al-fi'l. That means the goal that we are pursuing when we perform some worship. Now in the case of prayers, it's the mi'raj of a mu'min, like the Prophet has already said, as-salatu mi'raj al-mu'min, So prayers is the ascension of a mu'min. Ascension, spiritual ascension is the goal that we pursue through the through praying. And then we have the asrar and secrets of the prayers. And it's very important, like I mentioned, not to delay the prayers from the beginning time, because a delayed prayer does not provide any nurani. And a prayers is when we do the prayers in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are actually with our actions arranging this nur and this divine light through our great action. And this nur and divine light, which is created by Allah by virtue of our worship and great action, this nur and divine light itself, it talks to the person who is praying. If you pray in the Fadilat superiority time, the prayers itself talks to the person and says, "Hafiztani hafizak Allah," the hadith says, that you protected me, may Allah protect you. Whereas if you delay your prayers from the time of its in the beginning time, the prayers addresses the person by saying that ضَيَّعْتَنِي ضَيَّعْتَ اللَّهُ, you have wasted me, may Allah waste you. So there is no nuraniyat and light provided by any prayers if you pray it at the delayed time. Everything starts with that. Nothing is more important than this. This is the most important thing. And like we mentioned in the other night to those of you who were present, that Ayatollah Uthman Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai, the teacher of Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayh, had mentioned that anyone who prays on the Fadilat time but just could not reach the maqamat and levels of soul, we have ahwal, situations of the spirituality. There's a whole bunch of details about the ahwal, and we have some maqamat and levels. And there's a difference between maqamat and ahwal. The maqamat means the levels, and ahwal means the conditions and situations. And maqamat are something which are iktisabi and earned, whereas ahwal are certain things which are not gifted and not earned by the people. So what Ayatollah Uthman Sayyid Qazi had said, that anybody who prays in the Fadilat time but still could not reach the maqamat and spiritual levels should send his la'nat on me. So it's not going to happen that a person who always prays in the Fadilat time of the reward but still could not reach the spiritual levels, that's something impossible. You're bound to reach the high spiritual levels if you always pray on time. And he has even went that far and saying that even if somebody prays without Hudurul Qalb, isn't that a big statement? Even if somebody prays without Hudurul Qalb, you know the prayers, this is very important and fundamental thing for our prayers to have Hudurul Qalb. That means our heart focused on Allah. So he has went that far in saying that even if your prayers is without Hudurul Qalb, still, it's better to pray in the Fadilat time. So this is the first action point among the 25. We can hardly discuss, I think, 4 or 5 tonight, and we will continue with the rest of the 20 later on, inshallah. The second point which has to be remembered is the Nawafil and the Mustahab prayers. Again, our Urafa do not leave the Nawafil prayers, although it is Mustahab, but Mustahab prayers are superior than the Wajib prayers from this aspect, that you are not obliged to perform. So if you perform something extra, you go the extra mile, you do more than what you were obliged, this earns you further higher level, because now you are praying something which is in addition to the obligatory prayers, you are praying some recommended prayers, Nawafil. And he has mentioned in this, regarding this point of praying the nawafil, the commended prayers, that even if somebody wants to drop, even if someone wants to drop the nawafil, the 8 rakats of Dhuhr should not be dropped. You can still drop 4 rakats among the 4, among the 8 rakats of Asr. And even if you don't want, you could not pray the whole 4 rakats of Maghrib Nafila recommended prayers, at least you pray 2 rakats of Nafila prayers of Maghrib. So don't drop the entire Nafila of Maghrib. At least pray 2 rakats among the 4, if you cannot make the whole 4. Vutaira, that is the Nafila of Isha, he says in his these practical tips that it can be left. You know, of course we understand it's not that important. So this is the explanation that he gives about the tawafil. So 8 rakats of Dhuhr, 2 rakats of Fajr should not be dropped, 4 rakats of Asr as a minimum Nafila prayers, which we do before the Asr, and 2 rakats of Maghrib Nafila must be done as a minimum, if not 4, and the Isha Nafila can be dropped. The next point which he talks about is controlling the parts of our body. Every part of the human body has, for those of you who may have the chance of listening to my speeches in the first 10 days through the internet or whatever, I was exactly talking about the same subject in the first 10 days of Muharram, about the 7 doors of the hellfire. So the hellfire that we talk about has 7 doors in the heaven, which has 8. Well, that was not my subject to talk about the 8 doors of the heaven, maybe some other time, but inshallah. But the 7 doors of the hellfire are precisely these 7 parts of the body, which are available in the existence of every human, which are the 2 eyes, which is the door number 1, and the 2 ears. That's the door number 2 for hellfire, and the human tongue. It's the door number 3 of hellfire, and the 2 hands, which is the door number 4, and the stomach, what we eat, how we fill up our stomach, what kind of food we eat. Is it a clean, Islamically, spiritually clean food? Or it's Islamically, spiritually unclean and haram, what we call it, food. So what is related to fall into your stomach? That's the door number 5. And then the private parts, which is the door number 6, and the 2 feet of the human being, which is the door number 7 of hellfire. And we, the human beings, are so weak. That's the way Allah created us. We have given freedom of choices about those 7 parts of our body. Now there are human beings who go into the hellfire through 1 of these 7 doors with their free wills and their wrong choices. And there are human beings who go into the hellfire through more than 1 of these 7 doors. That's our own choice. Allah sent 124,000 prophets, starting from Prophet Adam, the first one, and the last one, the seed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. For our guidance. If we still don't open up our eyes to take care of our spirituality, then basically there is no one else to blame except our own selves, because we are then working for our pleasures and desires of this temporary life, of the temporary world. And all the prophets were sent, and all those great books from God were sent, you know, the Sahifa of Prophet Ibrahim, and the book of Prophet Abraham and Noah, and Sahifa Nuh, and the Torah, and the Bible, and the real ones, and the Quran, all of them were sent for the guidance of humanity and the spiritual and eternal success on the Day of Judgment. So the parts of the human body need to be controlled according to the teachings of our Creator mentioned in the Holy Book. And like I said, we cannot allow ourselves to go into the hellfire through one or several doors which have been assigned, which have been clearly told, and we have been informed about it. Any kind of zulm or oppression done by any human being through any of these parts of his body will land him automatically into the hellfire. So any kind of khiyanat, look at what in Tafsir al-Ayyashi it has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying, إِذَا ذَكَرَ النَّبِيِّ إِذَا ذَكَرَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ قَالَ. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recalled the Prophet, he said, بِأَبِي وَأُمِّي وَنَفْسِي وَقَوْمِي وَعَشِيرَتِي. May my father, my mother, my life, my nation, my tribe, that means everything be sacrificed on the Holy Prophet. عَجَبٌ لِلْعَرَبْ كَيْفَ لَا تَحْمِلُنَا عَلَى رُؤُوسِهَا. It's a matter of surprise for them, you know, not to carry us over their heads. It's just a metaphor which is used. I mean, what kind of respect you provide to the Messenger. وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا فَبِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَاللَّهِ أُنْقِذُوا. So you guys were at the brink of the ditch of the fire and he saved you from that. So I swear to Allah that because of Rasulullah, because of the Messenger of Allah, they were saved. So when we have been saved by these divine teachings and practicing these divine teachings of the Messenger of Allah, we must be grateful and thankful. And the gratefulness concept in Islam is not just as a lip service that I can grab a bead in my hand and start saying, you know, shukran lillah, you know. It's a practical gratefulness. I do not perform any oppression. I do not do anything wrong. I do not go for any violence or any aggression or anything which is, harmful for my own spirituality. And we find it has been mentioned that on one of the occasions, Abu Dharr, such a great companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen, our first Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, قام أبو ذر عند الكعبة. أبو ذر stood next to كعبة and فقال أنا جندب. His name was جندب بن جنادة, of course. And فاكتنفه الناس, people surrounded him. فقال لو أن أحدكم أراد سفرا لاتخذ فيه من الزاد ما يصلحه. If one of you wants to travel, you gather something that you need for your travel. You gather your stuff, you know, which is you can need during your travel. So, فَصَفَرَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Now we have the traveling towards the Day of Judgment ahead of us. All of us are heading towards our death time. There is no human being on the planet Earth, whether he is a, you know, believer in God or a disbeliever in God, whether he is whatever, you know, he is a Hindu or a Sikh or a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim or whatever. There is not a single human being on the planet who can say that I am not going to die. Isn't that right? Death is an undeniable reality. We are all going to die today or tomorrow. So when we are bound to die away from this world, so this is the beauty of Islam, and this is the beauty of the teachings of the messengers, that they are informing us what we are supposed to do on the Day of Judgment to get prepared before it's too late, because nobody comes back to this world of this life of this world after death. So Abu Dhar said, فَسَفَرْ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. We all have the troubling of the Day of Judgment. We are heading towards the final day of resurrection. أَمَا تُرِيدُونَ فِيهِ مَا يُسْلِحُكُمْ. Don't you guys need what is going to benefit you and correct you? فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ رَجُلْ فَقَالَ أَرْشِدْنَا. One of the guys said, okay, you guide us, what are we supposed to do? And فَقَالَ, he said, سُمْ يَوْمًا شَرِيدَ الْحَرْبِ لِلْمُشُورِ. He has learned the teachings from the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Look at how he's talking wisdom. He says that fast for the sake of keeping in mind the hot weather and hot climate that you guys are going to face on the Day of Resurrection. So, if we have been fasting back then in the life of this world, this temporary world, now after death, when all the humanity, billions and billions of humans are resurrected from their graves and they gather in front of their Lord, we find that those of the people are saved who have been fasting and protecting their spirituality through fasting. So this is how we are going to protect ourselves from the hot climate of the Day of Judgment. And then he said, وَحَجَّ حِجَّةً لِعَظَائِمِ الْأُمُورِ. For the sake of the big affairs of the religion, big affairs, you got to go for Hajj and pilgrimage. Hajj is such a unique worship where you cannot find an example for that. If you understand, Zurara said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that it's now 40 years I have been coming to you to learn the rulings of Hajj, the pilgrimage to Makkah. And after all, when it is going to end? It's now 40 years I've been learning the Ahkam of Hajj. And Imam Salih said that Hajj Baytun, the house which have been, Hajj has been performed towards that house 1,000 years before the creation of Prophet Adam. You want the rulings of that house to end in just 40 years? So we must understand that there are countless blessings that are awaiting us if we go for Hajj and we perform the Hajj properly. And وَصَلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنْ فِي سَوَادِ اللَّيْلِ لِوَحْشَةِ الْقُبُورِ. And Abu Dhar said, if you guys are serious about the scariness and fear that every dead person feels when he's laid into his grave, the wahshat and scare and fear of the grave, which is very natural. If you want to avoid the fear inside your graves when you are buried, this is the time now to pray 2 rakats of prayers in the darkness of the night. Wake up in the middle of the night, stand and pray 2 rakats of prayers. And he's talking about the Salatul Layl. Remember what the Holy Prophet had already said, that Noor al-Mu'min min Qiyam al-Layl. The Noor and divine light that a Mu'min, a believer, has is because of standing up in the night. So when we pray the night prayers, it provides the Nuraniyat to and the divine light in our qalb. When you have this Nuraniyat, you would not have, of course, you will not face any fear inside the graves. So this is going to benefit our own selves if we understand and realize. Although God is not going to benefit from any of our obediences, whether we obey or we disobey, that's irrelevant for Him. He doesn't benefit from us, we are the ones who benefit from His teachings. Then Abu Dhar said, كَلِمَةْ خَيْرٍ تَقُولُهَا وَكَلِمَةْ شَرٍ تَسْكُتْ عَنْهَا. The next thing that we need to remember, as we are talking about preparing ourselves to, as we are heading towards our death, every human being, regardless of his belief system, is heading towards his or her death. And the way to prepare ourselves is that control your tongue. I already mentioned there are 46 sins that a human being performs through his tongue only. And he says, كَلِمَةْ خَيْرٍ تَقُولُهَا. That means all you should say is a statement of goodness. وَكَلِمَةَ شَرٍ تَسْكُتُ عَنْهَا. And stop talking anything which is evil. We should not misuse our tongues for saying anything which is wrong and evil or hurtful or harmful towards anyone or anything. And then he says that sadaqatun minka ala miskinin la'allaka tanju biha. Remember to give sadaqa to a charity to a destitute person, maybe you get succeeded because of that on the day when you stand in need, on the day of hardship, yawma asir, the day of hardship. And اجعلِ الدُّنْيَا دِرْهَمَيْنِ دِرْهَمًا أَنْفَقْتَهُ عَلَىٰ عِيَالِكَ وَدِرْهَمًا قَدَّمْتَهُ لِأَخِرَتِكَ وَالثَّالِثَةَ يَضُرُّ وَلَا يَنْفَعْ فَلَا تَرِدُهُ أو فَلَا تَرِدْهُ. Better to read it like that. So he says that consider this whole world as two dirhams. In those days that was the coin used. In those days dirham was a silver coin and dinar was gold. You can today talk $2 instead of two dirhams. So consider this world as, you know, just like if you have whatever amount, chunk of money, make it into two halves. One is for the sake of your, taking care of your family, and faqtahu ala ayalika, live a respectable living. Islam promotes that. That's nothing wrong with that. Wa dirhaman qaddamtahu li akhiratika, and the other half of your money has to be sent forth. That means when you are spending on the good cause, when you're giving charity, when you're helping the poor, when you are spending it for the sake of God, you are actually sending forth and investing your money with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is going to benefit you on the day of judgment. وَالثَّالِثَ يَضُرُّ وَلَا يَنْفَى. Any third category, any third kind of usage of your money is harmful and is not going to benefit. وَلَا يَنْفَى. So don't go for it. And then he said, اجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا كَلِمَةً. This is Abu Dharr talking to the people standing next to the Kaaba. And اجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا كَلِمَتَيْنِ كَلِمَةً فِي طَلَبِ الْحَلَالِ. Take this dunya as two words. One for the halal, وَكَلِمَةٌ لِلْآخِرَةِ. And the other one is for the sake of akhirat. وَالثَّالِثَ تَضُرُّ وَلَا تَنْفَعْ. Any third category is not going to benefit. Instead, it's harmful. فَلَا تَرِدْهَا. Don't go for it. ثُمَّ قَال قَتَلَنِي حَمُّ يَوْمٍ لَا أَدْرِكُهُ. Basically, he's talking about the day of judgment. Everybody who has taqwa and piety is afraid and is worried about what, how we are supposed to take care of that. So what I was mentioning to you is taking care of the parts of our body, avoiding any kind of oppression towards anybody, khiyanat, any kind of misbehavior or breach of any promise and commitment and covenant, and we believe the bridge of Sirat is part of our belief system, and we believe the Mirsad, which is another bridge on the Day of Judgment. Qadbaratun, it's a bridge. لا يجوزها أحد بمظلمة. No one can cross the bridge of Mirsad if he has any oppression on his neck. That means if somebody has done any oppression towards anybody, you cannot cross that bridge on the Day of Judgment. So this is the time for people to clear themselves up from any kind of oppressions that may be there. And also we find that it has been mentioned that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said in his hadith that sani'u al-ma'roof yadfa mitat as-su. If you perform the good deeds, you will avoid the bad form of death. Some people have bad form of death, and basically, some people have a very nice and noble way of dying away from this world. So if you want to avoid the bad form of death, the evil form of death, you have to do good in your life. وَالصَّدَقَةُ فِي السِّرْ تُطْفِي غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ. And Prophet said that giving sadaqah and charity in the hidden, it calms down the wrath of the Lord. So, giving in the hidden means that nobody else on the whole world knows that you are the one who are giving it. No need to brag about your goodness or mention about or talking and, you know, that you have given this kind of favors. No need to do that. You have to be modest. Don't mention any of your good deeds to anybody. We have to hide the good deeds so that this is how we actually, this is the peak of relying in the reward of our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of showing off to the people to get any worldly gains. Silatul Rahim tazidu fil umr. Prophet said, if you take care of your relatives, keep in touch with your relatives, that means we don't break away from our relations, this is going to increase in your age. وَتَنْفِلْ فَقْرِ. And it will avoid poverty. So those are the people who want to avoid poverty in their life. They should not break away from their relatives. One of the things that we understand from the clearly from the teachings of Islam, that keeping in touch, intact with your relatives and not breaking away from our relatives. Islam gives a lot of importance to our parents, our family members, how to take care of them and respect them and keep in touch with them. This also not just serves our spirituality only, but it provides, it keeps the poverty away from a person. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ. Then the Holy Prophet says that وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ كَنْزٌ مِنْ كُنُوزِ الْجَنَّةِ. This dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, there is no power and, other than Allah, you know, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, this beautiful phrase of remembrance of God is one of the treasures of the paradise. وَهُوَ شِفَاءٌ مِنْ تِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعِينَ دَاءً أَدْنَاهَا الْهَمْ. And this is a shifa from 99 sicknesses, and the least of those is sorrow. Lots of people are going through stresses and depressions in this life of this world, and sorrows and pains and sufferings. The least thing among the list of those 99 illnesses is that. So if we always remember this phrase of remembrance of Allah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, is going to give us cure from 99 illnesses, including that. We will continue, inshallah, with the rest of the those practical tips, inshallah, in the next Thursday. And wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi.